More Danes arrived before winter. 36 ships came, each with its contingent of warriors, and the ships were pulled onto the riverbank for the winter while the crews, laden with shields and weapons, marched to wherever they would spend the next few months. The Danes were casting a net over eastern Northumbria, a light one, but still a net of scattered garrisons. Yet they could not have stayed if we had not let them. But those eldermen and thanes who had not died at Jofrek had bent the knee, and so we were a Danish kingdom now, despite the leashed Egbert on his pathetic throne. It was only in the west, in the wilder parts of Northumbria, that no Danes ruled. But nor were there any strong forces in those wild parts to challenge them. Ragnar took land west of Jofrek, up in the hills. His wife and family joined him there, and Ravan and Gudrun came, plus all Ragnar's ship's crews who took over homesteads in the nearby valleys. Our first job was to make Ragnar's house larger. It had belonged to an English thane who had died at Jofrek, but it was no grand hall, merely a low wooden building thatched with rye, straw and bracken, on which grass grew so thickly that from a distance the house looked like a long hummock. We built a new part, not for us, but for the few cattle, sheep and goats who would survive the winter and give birth in the new year. The rest were slaughtered. Ragnar and the men did most of the killing, but as the last few beasts came to the pen, he handed an axe to Rorik, his younger son. One clean, quick stroke, he ordered, and Rorik tried, but he was not strong enough, and his aim was not true, and the animal bellowed and bled, and it took 6 men to restrain it while Ragnar did the job properly. The skinners moved on to the carcass, and Ragnar held the axe to me. See if you can do better. A cow was pushed toward me. A man lifted her tail. She obediently lowered her head. And I swung the axe, remembering exactly where Ragnar had hit each time. And the heavy blade swung true, straight into the spine just behind the skull. And she went down with a crash. We'll make a Danish warrior of you yet, Ragnar said, pleased. The work lessened after the cattle slaughter. The English, who still lived in the valley, brought Ragnar their tribute of carcasses and grain, just as they would have delivered the supplies to their English lord. It was impossible to read from their faces what they thought of Ragnar and his Danes, but they gave no trouble, and Ragnar took care not to disturb their lives. The local priest was allowed to live and give services in his church that was a wooden shed decorated with a cross, and Ragnar sat in judgment on disputes, but always made certain he was advised by an Englishman who was knowledgeable in the local customs. You can't live somewhere, he told me, if the people don't want you to be there. They can kill our cattle or poison our streams, and we would never know who did it. You either slaughter them all or learn to live with them. The sky grew paler and the wind colder. Dead leaves blew in drifts. Our main work now was to feed the surviving cattle and to keep the log pile high. A dozen of us would go up into the woods, and I became proficient with an axe, learning how to bring a tree down with an economy of strokes. We would harness an ox to the bigger trunks to drag them down to the shearling, and the best trees were put aside for building, while the others were split and chopped for burning.